for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, I'm excited about tonight, but I want to talk to you tonight about how to stay blessed. How many like to be blessed? How many, it's good to be blessed. Amen. It's better to be blessed than to be cursed. I found that out, right? And yet, sometimes we choose by our actions to be cursed rather than blessed. And tonight, I just want to say it's better to be blessed. And we can stay that way. But first of all, I want to establish some things. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, the book of Ephesians and the first chapter. Many of you know this this verse, and because I say it a lot, but yet we've got to put it into our hearts and understand that this is the truth, whether I feel it or not. Let me say that again. I've got to look at the Bible as it's the truth, whether I feel it or not. Whether I'm experiencing or not, it's the truth. And if you ever get in a situation where you think, well, God, this isn't working, what's wrong? You're never going to find a time where you can go, see, God, you were wrong. Right? It's always going to be something on either my part or somebody else's part has caused this not to work and happen, right? So, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. How many are in Christ? Then according to this verse, God has already blessed you with some blessings. Right? No. All blessings. He says He's already blessed us with all blessings. We're already blessed. But here's the deal with blessing or many things in the Scripture. You have to stay within the economy of the blessing. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are certain things in the Word of God that you need to continue in order to stay under the umbrella of the blessing. You can choose to walk outside of that, but you're going to choose the results of that, right? Many things, and many times in the Old Testament, it says things like God cursed them or God that, but the actual Hebrew language says it more like this, that God allowed the consequences of their actions to come, and that brought on the curse, right? And that doesn't change in the New Testament just because we're in the New Testament. But so go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. Come back a little bit. And we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. This is exciting to me because if I can figure a few things out, then I can stay blessed. I can stay under the blessing. You know, I've heard people say and quote the Word, and it's not wrong to do that. In fact, I encourage that. But people will say, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm blessed. And you look at them, and yeah, not so much. Right? You know, your face doesn't say that you're blessed. I'm seeing your house. I'm seeing your family. And it's not there. There's a disconnect. And tonight, I want to just talk about that. And we could talk about being blessed. We could talk about, you know, walking in peace. We could talk about faith. We could talk about a lot of things. That there are laws that you have to operate in. And if you violate those laws, then you walk out of what's already yours. And it's no use to blame God, right? We have to look at ourselves and say, okay, Lord, help me, change me. And that's what He wants to do. The Scripture that says it's His goodness that leads us to repentance. Sometimes I'm going, really? Because I don't like to repent sometimes. I don't like to change. I don't like to admit that I was wrong. And then taking the steps that's necessary in order to change my actions sometimes takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Right? You can say, well, I'm never going to do that again, and then tomorrow you do it again. I'm never going to think that again. And yet, when something happens, you think that same thing again. And so it's a process of time, and that's what renewing our mind to the Word of God. And part of that renewal process is I'm putting the authority of the Word first place in my life. And so everything else has to line up with that. So you have to say, Bruce, straighten up. Because that's what the Word says. That's what you're going to do. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 8. Finally, all of you. So nobody gets out of this, right? Nobody gets out of this. But you don't understand. You don't know what happened to me. You don't. I'm a special case. Well, you're special, right? But watch this, and you're special to God. But look at this. He says, but finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, and be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for reviling or reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So you can't live outside of that. You can't be reviling a person, and what is that? It's like when somebody cusses you out, boy, you're going to give it back to them. Right? And maybe we might not cuss because we're sanctified, but we're still going to give it back to them as vehemently as they're dishing it out to us. See, the Bible says don't do that. But yet if we do that, then we won't inherit the blessing that comes from doing it God's way. You understand? It's like, okay, God, how am I supposed to do it? And then not only what's the pattern that I'm supposed to use, but my God, how do I do that? Because my natural reaction is, you know, and I was always taught, if you're going to get in a fight, hit the first blow and hit them as hard as you can, right? But the reality, Jesus taught us something that's completely different. And we've got to make up our minds. Am I going to walk the way Jesus wants me to walk? Or am I going to walk the way I think I should walk or the way I feel I should walk? And the reality is, if we want to stay blessed, come on, if we want to stay blessed, then we've got to do it His way. Amen? Amen. And look at His way is always a way that leads us to a better life than we had doing it our way. Always, 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 always. And so we have to come to that, you know, we have to put that in our mind. And again, let's read through that again, because I just want you to get this. It says, finally, verse 8, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Wouldn't it be great if he said, have compassion for those who are acting right? You know, have compassion for those, you know, who are always good to you. It says, no, have compassion for one another. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you read the Bible and you go, well, those people back there, they were more around Jesus' time, so they didn't have all the troubles that we have. They were just like us. So they had stinkers that they had to live with just like we do. But the reality is how somebody else acts shouldn't control how we act. And it definitely, how somebody else acts, our reactions to them can't be justified because they act that way. Right? We have to make our mind up that I'm going to follow the Word no matter what. So if I want to be blessed, Lord, help me to live out Your Word even when I don't feel like it. And He will. He does. It's so good. It's so good. Love one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted and be courteous. Wouldn't that be something? If we could all just be kind. I mean, look at what's going on in the world today. Man, if people would just start being kind to one another, it would change a lot. But look at this in verse 9, because this is really important. He says, not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling, but contrary, blessings, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit the blessing. Now watch it. Look at who's talking here. This is Peter. Remember Peter? Remember the story about Peter as he was walking with Jesus? you remember the day when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to him and Peter took out the sword and whacked off one of the soldiers' ear? I ain't going to take Jesus. They're not going to get him. Boy, if they're coming after him, they've got to deal with me. And I'm not saying that you never defend yourself, but you can defend yourself in a way that's not offensive. You can state the truth in love without going to the level of vehemence that the other person has. You can stay in control and calm and be at peace even in the midst of Jesus did it all the time, right? So what I'm saying is that we can't begin to live our lives out evil for the evil that's done to us. We have to stay in the place where God would have us. And that's the place of being a blessing for others. It's really amazing. Verse 10 says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." You want to see good days? You want to have a good day? Right? Well, then you have to refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. In other words, just because somebody is being evil to you, it's a lure to get you out of the blessing for you to respond in kind. And so God is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's look at what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Have you ever read like the Beatitudes and go, huh? Lord, how's that possible? But yet Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus' commandments and the way he wants us, he told us, go in to all the world and make disciples, teaching them all the things that I've commanded you. So when you read the Gospels, you go, wait a minute, part of my discipleship is coming in line with what Jesus said. So if Jesus said to do this, that's what I need to do, whether my daddy likes it, whether my mama likes it, whether my kids like it, whether the neighbors like it, whether CNN likes it. It doesn't matter. I have to come to the place, if I want to live a blessed life, I have to live in obedience to what Jesus has said. Make sense? So, Matthew chapter 5, and let's go to verse 43. 43. And you see, he was so radical and so different that the Jews that were around him and that he was talking to, they went, huh? What's he talking about? But listen to what he said in verse 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Well, that sounds normal. I mean, that sounds pretty natural. It's human nature. But you see, he introduced supernatural living versus natural living. And we've already been blessed with spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In other words, in the Spirit, he's already accomplished these things so that we can walk in these things. So we don't have to live just a natural life. But because the Spirit of God is inside of us and because God has done something miraculous in us, we can live a life that's not like everybody else. But we have to do it on purpose. And we have to purpose to do it. We have to do it on purpose and we have to purpose to do it. In other words, I've got to make my flesh get in line with what Jesus said, whether I want to or not, whether it makes sense to me to do it or not. If I want to be blessed, I have to get in line with the Word and live my life through the Word. Glory to God. Verse 44, "But I say to you..." Now you should underline that in your Bible and say, this is Jesus talking to me. Jesus said, "But I say to you..." In other words, I say to Bruce. Right? That's how we need to read the Bible. "But I say to Bruce..." Now listen to what he says. "Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Man, that's tough sledding sometimes, right? It is, but you have to force yourself to do it. I'll just, you know, I've gone through something recently where, you know, I could have got really upset, really bitter, really said, well, those people are, strike them dead, God. But I refused to do that. But there were times I had to tell myself, and I had to repeat the words, bless them, Lord. Just bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. No, Lord, I don't want anything bad to happen to them. I want only good things to happen to them. God, bless them. Bless them. Why? Because I don't want to walk out of the blessing or having the blessing in my life so that I can show people how good God is. Does that make sense? So when it says in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, that's what it means. That's what it means. Now let's take it. There's a lot of people that I might disagree with who are on CNN, who are on Fox News, who are on, you know, are on the television or doing things that I totally disagree with, but I have to continue to love them. How do you do that? How in the world do you do that? Well, I think you have to start loving people as God loves them. Because God has created each person that's on the face of the earth. And He so loved each person on the earth that He sent Jesus to them. He doesn't always approve of what we do, obviously, but He loves us anyway. And I like this in the Amplified in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, love always believes the best of every person. So even though they may seem rotten to the core, I believe there's potential for better. Right? I believe with just a decision to let Jesus into their heart and take control of their lives, that there's better. And I have to believe that over them, even when they're acting contrary to that. Now, it'd be wonderful if it was just the world we're talking about. Well, I'm talking about people in our families. Hello? I'm talking about those people that you have to see day after day. Maybe you work with, maybe you're around. Oh, God. That person rubs me the wrong way all the time. I get so angry at them. And yet, He said, for you to love them. You want to be blessed? Then you have to do what He says. And watch this. This is so cool. We don't have to do that alone. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that's in the inside of us that can teach us how to be around them. So let's look at this a little more. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You want to be blessed? Then listen to this. Love them. Bless them. Do good to them and pray for them. It's your enemies. Let me go over that again just so you get it. Right? You're supposed to bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. Right? And that sometimes is hard. But yet, if we're going to stay blessed, if we want to be blessed, we have to follow the rules of blessing. So it's like, Lord, I'm determined from now on for the rest of my life, those who are persecuting me, those who are coming against me, Lord, I just want to bless them. Now here's where we get into trouble, and we're going to look at a couple of things, but watch this. Here's where we get in trouble, where we begin to judge ourselves against them. In other words, look at them, man. If they were only as good as me, right? If they only came up to my standard, if they only saw life from my perspective, then things would be a lot better. Now, don't look at me like I fell out of a well. We've all thought that way, or at least that was in our heart. But the reality is that all of us are in the same position, right? We're all relying on the goodness of God. And we need to see the potential of everybody. Now look at, let's look here at Luke chapter 23. We're going to come, Luke 23. Let's go there next. The Gospel of Luke in the 23rd chapter. Now, as we turn there, this is the story of the Passion of the Christ. This is the story about how Jesus was brutally beaten. Absolutely, there was no case against him. He was God walking on the earth. He'd never sinned, never gone out of doing what was right in his whole life. Never. And yet, these things were happening to him. So he'd been spit upon. He'd been slapped. Crown of thorns had been placed on his head. He'd been mocked. Jesus, come on. This is where he was. Now look at verse 33. I believe it is. 33. It says, and when they'd come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals were on one on the right hand and one on the other, on the left. He's hanging on this tree of suffering. And they'd already, the stick, they'd done everything to him, beat him to where he was unrecognizable. The Son of God, the one who was a perfect lamb, the one who never did anything to deserve this, was up there for you and me. And listen to his response. If anybody in the world had the right to say, I don't deserve this and I'm not taking it anymore, it was him hanging on the tree. And listen to what he said, verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And so our heart has to be, okay, if that's how Jesus acted, that's how I'm going to act. And we, I realize, and I'm not naive, that there are some people who are just evil and know what they're doing. They're going to do it anyway. But we should be praying for forgiveness over them even when they're doing wrong to us. Why? Because we would never want to send anybody to hell. And without God's forgiveness, that's where they're going, right? I mean, there are some people you think, they deserve to. Wait a minute. All of us deserve to go to hell. But it's only by the mercy and grace of God that we don't. So we need to take on the same attitude that Jesus. In Colossians, it said, let the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, even though he was in the form of God, thought he laid down his life for you and for me. Come on. And so it's like, if I want to live a blessed life, if I want to live a life like Jesus, I have to start taking on that same attitude. This one's on me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when we're blessing them, when we're loving them, when we're praying for them, it has to be from the attitude of, Lord, I need your heart of intercession for that person. And again, sometimes this takes a process for us to go through. But if we want to live blessed, we're going to walk in that. We're going to do it. Amen? And it's good. It works. Glory to God. Look at verse 47, because I want you to see this. This is awesome. So here's the result of a soldier who was looking on this, and he heard Jesus say this. And then in verse 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said to the Father, under your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last breath. So Jesus died on the cross, and the soldiers are watching this. And so when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd came together to the sight, seeing what had been done beat their breast in return. The whole point is that because Jesus did the right thing, even though he had the right to do something else, it affected those that were around him. Amazing. Amazing. So our life is a life of sacrifice. We have to lay our flesh on the line in order to live out the Christian life. But the reality is we can be a witness to those around us. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Is this helping anybody tonight? Is this hurting anybody tonight? No, just kidding. Acts chapter 7. And let's go to let's read a little bit more of the stories. The whole story is that Stephen gave an absolute anointed sermon, but in the sermon he pointed out the faults of some of the people that were there. He said, "You crucified the Lamb of God, the Lamb who is coming." And so verse 54 said, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed their teeth." In other words, they heard the sermon and they went, "Arr," because they brought such conviction to it, to their hearts. They either had to get in line with what he was saying, or they had to, "Who are you to say something like that? We're coming after you." And religious people will do that, but how are we going to react? Now watch it. It goes on. Verse 55, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now get the picture. He's in a big crowd of people and they're all around him, right? And he looks up. He sees this. You know what the crowd saw? Nothing. They didn't see any of that. But he saw it. So they're going, "Who do you think you are?" Right? I mean, just get that feeling, that picture. Verse 57 said, "And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Now watch this. You know, they weren't just throwing little pebbles at him. They were throwing boulders at him. A whole crowd of people throwing nothing but boulders at this man. And then he said the same thing. "Lord, receive my spirit." No, he's going to die. Then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he said this, he fell asleep, or he died. Now watch this. The Saul that they laid the clothes at his feet is the same one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So Stephen, being in obedience to the Word of God, caused the blessing of witnessing, even though it didn't bring out the salvation at that point. There was a seed sown in the heart of a young man that God was going to use mightily. Sometimes when we take one for the team, so to say, and when my son was in Little League, you know, and they were standing up there and kids were throwing at them. And they, inevitably, they get hit with the ball from the pitcher, right? And they take the base. We'd yell out, "Thanks for taking one for the team," you know, right? Because he got on base. And the reality is when we begin to act and live our lives out in such a way that we're loving people and even our enemies, and it's causing us harm. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, because it does. But we're actually taking one for the team. for the kingdom of God. And we're saying, Lord, don't hold us to their charge, because their soul is, now listen, their soul is worth more than my offense. Come on. Their soul is worth more than my offense. And God, I don't want to see anybody in hell. I don't want to see a curse come to anybody. So I want to live under the blessing. Glory to God. All right, go with me to a couple more verses. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. So we have to make up our minds. We're either going to be doers of the word or we're not. How many want to walk in freedom? Right? And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, or there is a liberty. And yet many Christians are walking around saying it, but not living it. Why? Because I think they're violating the laws that bring the freedom. Because Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. What's a disciple? It's a person who follows the discipline of the teaching. James said that you have to be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. So it's not the hearing of the word that brings the result that we want. It's doing what the word says. Right? And is this heavy stuff? No, this is freeing stuff. Because the enemy, here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to keep you in a fight with somebody, just running around the circle so that your emotions and everything are in that, so that you stay oppressed and under bondage. And yet if you live your life the way Jesus wants you to live it, you can come out from underneath that and be free of it. And he wants you free. So he said, if you're my disciples indeed, then you shall know the truth. And that word know there is not just have a head knowledge, but it means to have an intimate relationship with the truth. And the truth will set you free because you know it and you walk in the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm talking about how to stay blessed, and sometimes how we get outside of being blessed because we quit doing what we know to do and we just follow some of the things Jesus told us to do, but the other things that are too hard we lay aside. And that doesn't work. And so tonight, I'm telling you, he's given us the power to do that. So Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. 17, 13. It says, whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Whoever rewards evil for good. In other words, I'm going to get them. I'm going to mess them over. See, if you live your life that way, then evil won't ever depart from your house. Because you reap what you sow. You want to be blessed? Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever have the attitude, well, they got what they deserved. Bless God, you don't want to do that. You want to say, God, have mercy on them. You know. Now watch this. I'm not talking about somebody who's done a horrific crime and they have to pay a penalty. They should pay that penalty. But your heart should never be to condemn them. Your heart should be leaving them for God to judge and you getting out of the way. But wanting ultimately for them to come to Jesus so they don't have to die in their sins. Praise God. Go to chapter 22, Proverbs 20, verse 22. It says, do not say, I will recompense evil, or I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Right? It's trusting in the Lord. Absolutely trusting in the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm talking about living blessed and staying out of the curse. Our attitudes sometimes and our actions based on our attitudes are what keep the blessing from being in our lives completely. Did you know that you can stay blessed in the middle of terrible circumstances? It reminds me of the story of concentration camp was in World War II, but the Allied troops came and they liberated one. And you've seen the pictures, and it's just sickening, the pictures that you see. But everybody's coming out of there, and they're just skeletons. They're just skin on bones. And walking out of there and just, you know, heads down, beaten, completely defeated, you know, walking out of the prison camp. But this one gentleman stood out from everybody. He was the same condition, his skin and bones and all that, but there was light in his eyes, there was fire, there was a smile on his face. And so they went up and said, "What is different about you?" He happened to be a rabbi. And he said, "I said when I walked in here, they can take my body, they can do anything they want to it, but I'm never giving them my soul. I refuse to let them tell me who I am. I refuse to let their actions bring me to their level." Think about that. How could anybody come out with a good attitude being in that situation? It's because they practice the principles that they learned in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. We need to do the same thing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 says this: "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give to him a drink. For so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.'" See, that's in the Bible, right? What I just read is in the Bible. If we want to live a blessed life, then that's the attitude that we have to have, even when it gets uncomfortable, even when people are acting ugly, even when they're saying things about us that aren't true. We've got to come back and say, "God, you're the one who's ultimately going to see this thing through." And He does. And He will work for you. He will fight for you. I've told this story over and over again, but it just fits so well here. There was a time something was going on in the church, and there was a lot of things being said by a lot of different people. And the reality, I had to deal with a particular person, and the only one who knew the truth was me and that person that I talked to. The only ones. But the person that I talked to went around, and I mean, they got the church directory and started pleading their case to everybody. And basically, they were saying how bad I was and how wrong I was and so on and so forth. And so I decided I'm going to get up Sunday morning and I'm going to straighten this out. So I'm just going to let everybody know what the truth is and, you know, put my light, you know, and man, I'm writing scriptures and I'm getting it all down and I'm, you know, just going at it. And then I started praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And got quiet for a minute, and the Holy Spirit said, "Don't do that." I said, "What do you mean, don't do that? Lord, it's the truth." And this is what He said to me. I'll never forget it. It's stuck inside of me. He said to me, if you have to be your justifier, I can't be. I went, well, Lord, I don't want you to step off of the justification throne. I want you to be my justifier. And then he said this to me, and he showed me this picture. It was a mental picture. I'm not saying a vision or anything. But he showed me this big, like a campfire. So you got all the stones around. You got this pit in the middle, and that's where you build the campfire. But outside of the circle of this campfire was dry grass, right? And he said, if you go out and try to stamp out the fires that are in that dry grass, then you're going to spread the fire. But he said, if you'll tend the fire that's in the middle, and that's my relationship with you, those other fires will go out. I didn't like that. Because I wanted to give everybody a piece of my mind. But then he reminded me I couldn't afford to lose any. So, the reality is if we want to be blessed, we have to do it his way. If we want to operate in blessing, then we have to come to the place of verse 21 that says, do not be overcome by evil. In other words, don't do evil so that you're overcome and that you're living by it. But begin to do good and be overcome with it. Amen? It's so good. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and begin to read the blessings and the cursing. But it all starts out, you're blessed if you do my word. If you don't do my word, in other words, if you live outside of what I've said on how to live, then the curse comes. But the Bible says that a curse doesn't come without cause. What does that mean? That means that if you're living outside of the blessing and your life seems to be cursed, it's because you're not following the instructions of the Lord. So, I want to be blessed. Okay, God, what do you say? I'm going to live by that even if I don't want to, even if it doesn't seem right, even if it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to get back into your word and follow what you want me to do. Listen to this. Trust God for the best outcome for you. And believe God for the best outcome for others. In other words, you can trust God with you. Like at that fire, if I tended my relationship with God and did what He told me to do and worshiped Him and put Him at the center of my life, He's going to take care of the rest. And I can trust Him with that. I don't have to take it on. God, I know that that's the way it normally is, but I got this one. I'm gonna straighten this one out myself. I don't need you here, God. You're walking into a curse. You're walking into evil. You're going to try to overcome evil with evil, and it doesn't work. It says, no, get into the goodness of God. Let God straighten it out and live your life like you trust that God's got you, that God loves you, and He's going to take care of you. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You want to be blessed? Live according to His Word. How to be blessed? Say, God, I'm going to do it your way, no matter what it looks like, no matter if it makes sense to me. God, I've read it in your word, and once I've read it in your word, I'm going to do it. If you say judge not, I'm going to try to figure out what that means, and I'm going to live in it. You know, whatever your word says, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And that's how to stay blessed and live a blessed life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We know that Jesus, you said you're the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by you. So we just believe that. And Lord, if there's anybody that's listening on the internet or in the room that doesn't know you, has never made you the Lord of their life, I just pray that they would just bow before you and say, I need Jesus. Jesus, come do something with my life because I need you as my Lord and Savior. If you do that, He will come. If you mean it with your heart and you say it with your mouth, He'll do it. if you're there and maybe God has been speaking to you today about a relationship with you have or something that's going on in your life, just yield to the Holy Spirit. Do it His way. And even though it may not seem like it at the beginning, and even though it might take some time to straighten it all out, in the end, the blessing will be there because you did it God's way. And Lord, we just thank You for the courage to do that. We thank You, Lord, for the wisdom to do that. We thank You, Lord, for the help in doing that. And Holy Spirit, we just ask You to fill us now, and we give You all the glory for Your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.